Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Be magnified today, Lord. Quicken in our hearts the spirit of your resurrection and help us come alive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. For those of you who have heard me up here before, you know I like to start with a story, and usually they sort of revolve around three different things. The San Diego Superchargers, my son Samuel and something adorable he does, which he does often, and the third one is Walmart. That's kind of my three big ones that I go with. So we went to Walmart yesterday. I like to gravitate towards stories of Walmart because it's sort of this microcosm of humanity, a triage for the soul, because if you did not have an evangelical zeal, go to Walmart for an hour and you realize how much people need Jesus. We went on Easter Eve, and for those of you who have never been to Walmart on the day before a major holiday, I want you to do me a favor. When you go home today, go to your garage, get a hammer, and take one of your toes, your choice. It could be roast beef or the one that goes wee, wee, wee all the way home, and just start banging on it. And maybe 25% of your strength, right? And just keep going. That's what it's like to go to Walmart on the day before a major holiday. You know, it starts with just, it's just kind of annoying because you're only doing 25%. But over and over, after time goes on, you start to think, this is miserable. Who would put this, who would put me through this? Who would inflict this kind of pain? Oh, myself. And that's what happened yesterday. We were inflicted by this pain personally, so I can't be too mad at anyone but myself. Now, we went for all sorts of different things, but I kind of went there and I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to have very many more opportunities to buy Easter candy at full price before Easter, so I'll do that now. There's a particular candy that I really, really love, and that's the Cadbury Mini Eggs. Oh, man, that's what they serve for the salad course in heaven. I'm convinced of it. Oh, they're incredible. So I go to the shelves because that's what I want. You know, I'm looking for them. And they have an Easter section. Would it surprise you to know that the Easter section is pretty full? No, it shouldn't, because it's the day before Easter and people like me are scrambling. And so I would say that there were probably about as many people in this room, but in about a third of the size is the Easter section, with three aisles and about this much room between each aisle. And it's like a war zone. It's like the fall of Saigon in there, because there are people screaming. They've lost loved ones. They're yelling. It's a terrible scene. And you know, it gets to the point where I've just had enough. But I want this candy. That's what I want. And I look up at the shelves. Have you ever had this experience? I've never had it this full in my life. But the shelves were stocked entirely, and yet there was nothing there. Nothing of real value, at least. Nothing of real substance. It was all saccharin and plastic and just dead. It was so anti-Easter. But I looked up at the shelves, and I just thought, there's nothing for me here. Of course, that didn't stop me from buying a bunch of stuff, but there was nothing for me there. Have you ever had that experience? What if I just stopped the sermon right there? What about that? No, we're going to talk about the gospel now, too. If you were to write a fake story of resurrection that you were using to convince the feeble-minded that this actually happened, right off the bat, what you would do as far as providing witnesses to the story was you don't use two women. Because back in Jesus' day, the witness of two women was worth absolutely nothing. It's non-credible. It can't be used. It's inadmissible in court. Because who can believe two women together? This rings of the truth, does it not? Because otherwise you wouldn't include this in there. Not the women being incredible, non-credible. That doesn't ring of truth, of course. The part that I mean is that the gospel starts that way. Right? If you start a gospel that way, it must be true because it's so messy. Why would you fake something like that? Why would you start with such a silly detail? It rings of truth. Now these are the Mary burying brigade, the Mary buriers, right? Because they're two Marys, and they go to finish the process of burial that they started on Friday. Remember that Jesus was taken down from the cross on Friday, and they have to do a hasty burial. They put him in a very close grave. A friend of theirs offers the tomb. It was really just a rental, but they put him in the tomb, and they don't finish in time. You know, you put spices, you put oils, you put all these different things on the body to make sure that it's loved and it's cared for as it starts to go back to the earth. They didn't get a chance to finish that because the Passover came. It's this high holy day, and they didn't want, they weren't allowed to be doing this on Passover. And so they left it for as soon as they could get back, and that's Sunday morning. So at first light, they grab their spices that they have prepared for Jesus' body, and they go. Now, we're so caught up in all the Easter with the beautiful stuff and the alleluias that sometimes we forget that as these women went to the tomb, it was hopeless for them. Chances are, if you were here today, you know the rest of the story, but they didn't. And so as they get closer and closer to the tomb, they're more and more hopeless. They know exactly what they're going to find there. That is an embodied tomb and a dead man who called himself the Savior of the world. They expected nothing new under the sun. They expected death. Unlike the others who come after them, of course, like John and Peter, who are breathlessly anticipating finding something different, a world-changing event. But these women come with no anticipation, no excitement. The guys who come after, their whole lives are just beginning now. But for these two women, their lives are over because Jesus' life is over. They're not coming to start anything. They're coming to finish it. They're coming to finish the burial because Jesus has been put to death. And so what happens next for them is that they're absolutely shocked. This astonishing event, an earthquake, an angelic appearance. I love the moment when the angel rolls away the stone on the tomb, and then he just kind of hops on top of it like piece of cake, right? The last time I tried to be impressive like that and do some sort of feat of strength, I broke both elbows. But not this angel. He gets up and he just says, nothing is too impossible for God. And he hops on the tomb. What's the first thing he says? Don't be afraid. Don't freak out. Why? Because these women were freaking out. They had never seen anything like this before. They are astonished, absolutely shocked. It was enough for the centurions that were there to pass out in fear. These are trained soldiers and they pass out in fear. The women are freaking out. And so the angel says, don't freak out. And what he says next is very interesting. He says, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. But Jesus has been raised just like he said. And this is the part that struck me this year. I'd never heard this part before. It says, go and look where you laid him. Now, I don't think angels are allowed to get married. But this is a man angel. And somehow he is tapped into the woman psyche so much that he knows that they need to see it for themselves. It took me until I was married to know that if a woman hears a noise in the middle of the night or smells what she thinks is smoke, no matter how many times I say it's fine, she needs to see for herself. That is a lesson my wife taught me. Women need to see this for themselves. This is a smart angel. But of course, this is the most important angelic announcement that ever happens. Of course, God is going to send his best. So the angel says, go and see for yourself. Look where you laid him. And they go into the tomb. Can you imagine what it would have felt like to go back into that tomb? This is a place where all hope is lost, where death destroys, where the body decays, where the greatest sadness that these women have ever experienced took place. It's where they left the Savior after he died. Can you imagine what it would have felt like to go back in there? Because if the angel was speaking the truth, and he is, everything has changed. Everything is different. And so how much time do you think they spent in that tomb? I'd say seconds at the most. Remember that they came with a specific purpose in mind. They brought their spices, and they were going to anoint his body and prepare him to die, or prepare him to stay dead, rather. And their specific purpose was no longer there. And so I think they dropped their spices and ran like mad women because they no longer had a purpose for being in there. There was nothing for them in the tomb. And so they run, and on their way they see Jesus. Jesus appears to them, and they fall down at his feet and hold him and worship him. And Jesus says, keep going, keep going. Go tell my brothers where I'm going. Don't look back. There is nothing for you back there. Keep going. Go tell my disciples. This powerful, powerful moment. It changes the women forever. That's the end of our gospel for today. Come back next week, there's more. But that's the end of the story, and if that was it, that would be enough. Oh, for the Marys, oh man, it changed everything. It changed their whole lives. They expected death, and they received resurrection. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, they were raised too. Everything has changed. The tomb no longer holds him. Jesus conquered life and Jesus conquered death. Jesus' love was too strong for the grave. And he's no longer in the tomb. So neither were the women. They were changed. They were transformed. They were resurrected. And anybody who truly experiences Jesus being raised from the dead, experiences a moment with the risen Christ, is changed forever. Are we not? We're changed. We look at that old life. We look at that old stuff. Everything we cared about, the money, the possessions, everything that we spent our time and energy on, our sin life, all of that stuff, it's just garbage. We look at it and we just say, who cares? That stuff is just death and decay. Just put it in the tomb. We don't need it anymore. And that's the message of Easter. That when Jesus was raised, we are raised too. And there is nothing for us in that tomb. When we consider all of the stuff of life, all the garbage that we spent our time on, that's dead. That's no more. There is nothing left for us in that tomb. And since we are raised with Christ, since we are resurrected in him, we have died. We focus our time, our thought life, our energy, everything that we do on Christ who lives on high. We focus our thoughts and our whole lives on the reality of heaven ahead of us. Our lives are hid with him on high. Christ, who is our life, will return. And if we have been raised with him, we will return too. For those of you who are stuck in the tomb today, for those of you who just have one foot in the grave of just earthly desires, possessions, just anything that is not of God, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. That garbage. You know, the shelves might be full, but there's nothing up there. There's nothing for us in the tomb. God is not in the tomb, and there is nothing for us there. So let's drop our stuff. Let's go quickly. Run from the tomb. Leave the grave clothes. Leave the death. Let's run that race that Jesus has before us. We have been raised with Christ, and we fix our hearts, thoughts, our very lives on him. Family, there's nothing for us in the tomb. Let's not spend another minute in there. Let's pray. We have been raised with you, Jesus, on high. We have seen where you were laid. We have seen the tomb empty. And our hearts are full. Lord, all the stuff of life, the garbage that we put on the shelves, bury it, Lord. Lord, for those who are here who have never received that assurance, that blessed assurance that we are raised with Christ forever, that we are raised with the resurrection and the life, those who have never trusted and accepted Jesus, we do so at this time. Jesus, we trust you. We trust your sacrifice for us. We trust your resurrection as a sign that your love can't die. We trust that you live within us. We trust that we will live with you forever. Lord, we ask for all of us here who made that promise that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit. You would strengthen us. You would anoint us for your ministry. Just help us to leave all the garbage in the tomb. Help us instead to run toward you. Fixing our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our very lives on Jesus on high. Lord, we trust you. We die with you and we raise with you. Burn in our hearts your love and remain with us forever. It's in the name of the risen Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.